Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, July 22nd, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Both Democratic candidate for Governor Terry Pickens and independent candidate for Idaho Governor John Stegner support reproductive rights ballot initiative. And Spokane County Commissioner proposes 9-month moratorium on data centers. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Reports. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The two Democrats on the five-member Spokane County Commission, Amber Waldreff and Chris Jordan, have proposed a 9-month moratorium on new data centers in the county. As Waldreff and Jordan made their pitch yesterday morning, two of the three Republican commissioners, Josh Kearns and Al French, said they have quietly been working on proposed regulations for new data centers in the county and are ready to make them public. Republican County Commission Chair Mary Brooks indicated she's unsure which path to take. According to the Spokesman Review, Brooks said at the meeting, "When you say moratorium, I think it says we're closed for business, and we're not closed for business, whether it's data centers or any of it." Commissioner Kearns noted his and French's proposed regulations, which are based on parts of Spokane County zoning law that already exist, would satisfy the public's call for action on data centers now rather than later. Kearns said, "We should not be moving when it comes to economic development, when it comes to an issue this big, when it comes to what we're hearing, the outcry from this community. We shouldn't be moving at the speed of government. We need to move at the speed of business." The proposal from Kearns and French says data centers can only be built on land zoned industrial, and large load data centers drawing more than 200 megawatts could only be built on land zoned for heavy industry. The proposal would also require data centers be 300 feet away from residential property and 100 feet away from the nearest property line. Data centers would not be allowed to exceed 65 decibels noise level. French claimed data centers would be using wastewater rather than using up aquifer water, but it's unclear to what extent. He said, "So unless you drink water from the toilet, you're not going to be impacted by this because they're using wastewater." Commissioner Jordan said the advantage of a moratorium is that it would allow time for a detailed review. He also said a 9-month moratorium would line up with the end of next year's legislative session, which may very well include statewide data center regulations. He also said if a data center came to the county tomorrow with an application, it would be too late for any regulations that the county might implement. Commissioners Kearns and French say they would have the regulations in effect by the end of August if the commission voted for them. Jordan said, "I recognize also that technology is changing, and perhaps that could be a good thing in mitigating some of the issues that other communities are facing. But again, we can't just rely on the word of industry that they are going to be better. We have to have rules in place to protect the public when it comes to water, power, and other issues." The next Spokane County Commission meeting is nearly 3 weeks from now. Brooks said, "We need to engage with our utility companies, with our water purveyors to see what they are seeing, what are they hearing in their industry, what we can make better before a decision on what our ordinance or resolution would look like, because I don't know what that is." The two major candidates running against incumbent Republican Governor Brad Little this year are both in favor of the reproductive rights initiative that will be on the state ballot in November. Extreme right legislators say they will move to block the initiative from taking effect, even if a majority of Idahoans vote to enact it in November. Democrat Terry Pickens told the Idaho Capital Sun in mid-June, "I absolutely 100% support the ballot initiative. I'm 54 today, and for 50 of those 54 years, I had fundamental freedoms of bodily autonomy. My 22-year-old daughter no longer does in Idaho, so the ballot initiative is really to restore reproductive freedom and privacy. The privacy aspect also deals with contraception, protecting in vitro fertilization. So across the board, what it is telling the government is to stay out of our doctors' offices, stay out of the medical decisions that we make that control our own bodies. Retired Idaho Supreme Court Justice John Stegner, who is also running for governor, said he would strongly defend the initiative if it passes and he's elected governor. Stegner said, if it succeeds in the way that it's polling right now, it will undo what I think are 19th century laws and move us rapidly into the 21st century. And I think that's what the governor should have been talking about and wasn't and didn't. And if the initiative passes, I would be a fervent supporter of ensuring that that is the law because I think that's what the people of Idaho want. Idaho's trigger law, which is called that because it was written before the U.S. Supreme Court made the Dobbs decision in June 2022, but written in such a way that a Supreme Court decision allowing states to limit abortion would trigger it, could result in 5 years in prison for a doctor who performs an abortion when the health of the mother is at risk rather than the life of the mother, which is an exception. The trigger law forbids any abortion starting with the zygote stage unless there is a risk to the life of the mother or unless the pregnancy is the result of rape or incest, but only if there's a police report. A number of far-right Republican legislative candidates have said they would repeal the new law if voters in Idaho approve it. Those candidates, some of them incumbents, are Scott Herndon, Jane Sauter, Cornell Resor, Vito Barbieri, Elaine Price, Cindy Carlson of Riggins, Kyle Harris, Colton Bennett, Christy Zito, Judy Boyle, Camille Blaylock, Kent Marmon, Jeff Cornelius, Jerome Crane, Steve Tanner, and Clint Hostetler. Of those, Colton Bennett of Troy is running for one of the 6th District Legislative House seats up for election this year against Democrat Trish Carter Goodhart of Lapway. Former 1st Congressional District Representative Larry LaRocco of Idaho, who served in the House from 1991 to 1995 and who was the last Democrat to do so, wrote in an op-ed in the Lewiston Tribune last month calling on Democrat David Roth to drop out of the race for U.S. Senate before the September 4th deadline. LaRocco argues that the campaign of independent Todd Achilles could unseat the incumbent Republican Jim Risch in an upset, or failing to do that would force national Republican donors to redirect money to protect what should otherwise be a safe Republican Senate seat. LaRocco's June letter was the first sign of concern for the campaign of David Roth, who is the Democratic nominee for the seat currently held by incumbent Republican Risch. That led to the Ada County Democratic Party Central Committee writing a letter earlier this month to Roth, giving him a deadline for showing a campaign plan and adequate fundraising, after which they will consider endorsing Achilles. LaRocco wrote, quote, "The Gem State Senate race would demand national attention if it were a head-to-head race between independent Todd Achilles and incumbent Republican Jim Risch. As much as I admire tenacity, there is not a snowball's chance in hell that Roth will improve on the 0-for-3 record of his prior campaigns. In fact, his presence in the race almost assures a Risch victory. The notion of a Democratic candidate to back out of the red-leaning race in favor of an independent is not unprecedented. Idaho's situation currently reflects Montana's, where state Democrats would like to back independent Seth Bodnar, who, like Achilles over Roth, enjoys a major fundraising advantage over Democrat Eleni Bankhead. Bankhead, like Roth, has no plans to back down. The Kootenai County Democratic Party Central Committee is the only other Democratic organization in Idaho to speak on the issue as of this weekend. On Tuesday of last week, they voted to remain neutral, according to an article in the Spokesman Review.
Attorneys general in 15 states, including Washington, are suing the Trump administration for canceling a program designed to help districts hire and train more school-based mental health professionals. The lawsuit argues cutting the funding is unlawful and would harm students dealing with issues like loneliness, substance abuse, and fear of violence. Lauren Mendez with the Washington School Counselor Association says rural and high-need school districts in the state have been struggling to recruit a mental health workforce.
These types of cuts typically impact our students who do not have access to private insurance, who have Medicaid. School-based supports are often the most accessible source to each and every student.
The $1 billion Mental Health Service Professional Demonstration Grant Program was the result of a bipartisan effort by Congress after the 2018 Parkland school shooting, and it was expanded following the 2022 Uvalde shooting. The Trump administration argues the program conflicts with its policy at prioritizing merit and fairness in education. But Mendez counters that having access to mental health services benefits all students and makes everyone safer. She says cutting the program will mean Washington school districts will miss out on over $20 million, which had already been promised in the form of five-year grants.
How are we supporting our students to achieve their dreams, to be a caring community member, to feel that they have the resources they need when situations feel unsafe or uncomfortable?
The Trump administration first tried to halt the funding last year, an action which was found to be illegal. The latest lawsuit is an effort to reinforce the previous court order. Mendez says the program has brought mental health services to nearly 775,000 students nationwide. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing commerce and community together through business support, local events, and economic development initiatives. 114 South Main Street in downtown Moscow, 208-882-1800, and moscowchamber.com. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Idaho Chapter and Palouse Group of the Sierra Club, which are building a grassroots movement for climate and ecological justice in Idaho. Sierra Club empowers community members of all ages to advocate for clean energy, abundant wildlife, and outdoor access. SierraClub.org/Idaho/Palouse-group.
Don't touch that dial.
You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
You can listen to the radio.
Listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio.
You got it right.
Community radio.
Listen, you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio for you, Moscow.
Fight back, radio. It's 90.3 on your radio dial. Fight back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support. So keep on listening, and listening, and listening, and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
A press release from the Southeast Washington Interagency Incident Management Team says the Lions Ferry wildfire burning along State Highway 26 west of Colfax was 90% contained as of yesterday afternoon. The Lewiston Tribune reports the news release says officials have lifted all evacuation orders near the 34,000-acre wildfire. The management team says the cause of the blaze in brush, tall grass, and wheat fields is under investigation. The Whitman County Rural Fire District number 11 wrote on Facebook, investigators think lightning started the blaze early Thursday of last week. The press release said healthcare workers treated two firefighters for burns, and the fire did not damage any structures. The news release also said three wildfires in southeastern Washington, the Devil's Canyon Fire, the Wallace Walker Fire, and the Neff Jones Fire, were fully contained as of yesterday. To the north, the 68,000-acre Kaiser Canyon fire on the Colville Reservation was still 0% contained as of yesterday afternoon. The road to Nespelin was open again as of yesterday, but residents of the town had been trapped for 2 days this week as the fire burned around them. Parts of the town are still under Level 3 go-now evacuation orders. Previous reports from Sunday indicated 10 buildings had burned. 473 firefighters are working the blaze. Colville tribe members are grieving the charring of sacred lands, some of which they reseeded last year after a different wildfire. The IncyWeb report on the Kaiser Canyon fire says hot, dry, and unstable weather conditions will impact the fire through Thursday of this week. A lightning strike started the fire Thursday of last week. A few miles downstream along the Columbia River, another lightning-caused wildfire, called the Modrite Fire, has burned 8,760 acres on the Colville Reservation, south of the community of Inchelium. As of last night, 235 firefighters were working the blaze, which was 0% contained. Officials are saying there is a very high potential for rapid fire growth through tomorrow. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area. Areas of smoke and widespread haze tonight, partly cloudy, low 61. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon tomorrow. Patchy smoke, widespread haze, mostly sunny, high 93. Thursday night, patchy smoke, mostly clear, low 58, widespread haze. And mostly clear Friday through Sunday, highs 93 Friday, 89 Saturday, and 82 on Sunday, lows 58 Friday night and 53 Saturday night. Current temperature, 93 degrees in Moscow. The Idaho Department of Environmental Quality real-time air monitoring shows at this hour that the air quality in Moscow is moderate. Air quality in all of north-central Idaho and northern Idaho at this hour is moderate. The Washington Department of Ecology is reporting at this hour the air quality in Pullman and the Spokane area is moderate. The air quality in Clarkston is unhealthy for sensitive groups. And the current temperature in the LC Valley is 99 degrees, and there's a heat advisory in effect until tomorrow at 9 p.m. in the Lewiston and Clarkston area. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP.org website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know that your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is up next, and Lockdown Mosh Pit at 7:30, and Grateful Dead Through the Decades with Music with Arlene at 8:30. Stay tuned for more.
Extinction Rebellion Palouse proudly supports KRFP. XR Palouse is organizing to have our governments and institutions declare a climate emergency, achieve climate justice and biodiversity, and leverage the power of arts and humanities to foster social change. KRFP is dedicated to progressive values, including justice and multiculturalism.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. On the Coeur d'Alene Reservation in northwest Idaho, kids swim, play, and shoot hoops at the Merriman Health Corps Center, a 32,000-square-foot recreation center. And the tribe is saving thousands of dollars a year on the electricity needed to run the facility, thanks to rooftop solar panels installed 2 years ago.
It had been estimated that it would save about $2,500 a year, but utility costs have gone up enough that we actually realized about four times that amount.
Laura LaMattia is the Environmental Programs Manager with the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. She says the tribe is interested in renewable energy not only for economic reasons, but as a way to increase the tribe's control over its energy supply.
The Coeur d'Alene Tribe is interested in energy sovereignty. If you look at the history of utility development across the nation, tribes historically have not been a big part of that. And for the Coeur d'Alene Tribe, it has four different utilities serving its reservation and little to no representation on any of those.
So she says this solar project is helping the tribe save money while also building its energy independence. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.